Chapter 2. Moreover, with great readiness and joy, out of his desire of the suffering, he came down from Antiochia to Seleucia, from where he was to set sail. And after a great deal of suffering, he came to Smyrna, where he disembarked with great joy, and hastened to see the holy Polycarp, his fellow disciple and overseer of Smyrna. For both of them had, in old times, been disciples of Johanan. Being brought to him and communicating to him some spiritual gifts and glorying in his bonds, he entreated for him to labor along with him in the fulfillment of his desire. He indeed asked this of the whole assembly, for the cities and assemblies of Asia had welcomed the holy man through their overseers and elders and ministers, all hastening to meet him, if by any means they might receive from him some spiritual gift. But above all, he asked the holy Polycarp to contend with God on his behalf, that he might be manifested before the face of the Anointed One. For soon he would be disappearing from this world by means of the wild beasts. And this was the way in which he spoke these things, and in the way in which he testified, extending his love to the Anointed One, so far as one who was about to receive heaven through his good confession, and the earnestness of those who joined their prayers to his in regard to his conflict. But to give a recompense to the assemblies, who came to meet him through their leaders, sending documents of thanksgiving to them, which distilled spiritual grace, along with prayer and exhortation. Therefore, having seen everyone so kindly affected toward him, and fearing lest the love of the brotherhood should hinder his affection toward the Lord, now that a fair door of suffering was open to him, he wrote the letter to the Romans, which we subjoin here. Moreover, after having strengthened those of the brethren at Roma who were against his testimony by means of this letter, he set sail from Smyrna. For Christophoros was pressed by the soldiers to hasten to the public spectacles at Great Roma, so that being delivered to the wild beasts in the sight of the Roman populace, he might attain the crown for which he strove. He landed at Troas. Then, going from that place to Neapolis, he passed by Philippi through Macedonia, and on to that part of Epeiros, which is near Epidamnos. Having found a ship in one of the seaports, he sailed over the Adriatic Sea. And he passed by both several islands and cities, until he saw Puteoli. Indeed, having a desire to tread in the footsteps of the envoy Paul, he was eager to disembark there. But a violent wind arose, and driving the ship onwards, did not allow him to do so. Therefore, expressing his delight over the brothers in that place, he sailed forward. And continuing to enjoy the favorable winds, we were unwillingly hurried on in one day and night. Indeed, mourning to think of being separated from this righteous man. But it happened to him exactly as he had prayed, since he was in haste to leave this world as soon as possible, that he might attain the Lord whom he loved. Accordingly, sailing into the Roman harbor, the impure sports were about to end. Indeed, the soldiers began to be annoyed at our slowness. But the overseer complied with their urgency with great joy. Accordingly, they were forced away from the port, so-called, and met the brothers, who were full of fear and joy. For the report of what concerned the holy testifier was being spread abroad. Indeed, they rejoiced because they were found worthy to meet with the God-bearer, but struck with fear because such an eminent man was being led to death. Now he also commanded some to keep silent, who, in their fervent zeal, were saying that they would appease the populace so that they would not demand the destruction of the righteous one. He was immediately aware of this through the Spirit, and greeted all of them, and begged them to show true affection toward him. Also, disputing with them at even a greater length than in his letter, he persuaded them not to envy him because he was hastening to the Lord. So, with all the brothers kneeling down, he entreated the Son of God in behalf of all the assemblies that he would put a stop to the persecution and that mutual love might continue among the brothers. Once finished, he was led with all haste into the amphitheater. Then, according to the orders of Caesar, which had been previously given, he was immediately thrown in. The public spectacles were just about to close, for it was then a very solemn day, called in the Roman tongue, the 13th before the calends of January, upon which the people were accustomed to gather together in numbers greater than usual. This was how impious men threw him to the beasts of prey near the temple, so that straightaway the desire of the holy testifier Ignatius might be accomplished. As it is written, a desire of a righteous man is acceptable. He desired this, as to not be troublesome to any of the brothers wishing to gather his remains, but might be wholly devoured by them. He had expressed this wish beforehand in his letter, that his end might be in this way. For only the harder portions of his holy remains were left, which were carried to Antiochia and wrapped in linen, as an inestimable treasure left to the assembly by the grace which was in the testifier. Now these things took place on the 13th day before the calends of January, that is, on the 20th of December. At that time, Sura and Senecio were the consuls of the Romans for the second time. We ourselves were eyewitnesses of these things. We spent the entire night within the house, in tears, entreating the Lord with both bent knees and much prayer, that he would give us weak men full assurance concerning the things which had been done. It came to pass, when we fell into brief slumber, that indeed some of us suddenly saw the blessed Ignatius standing by us and embracing us, while others saw him praying for us, but still others saw him dripping with sweat, as if he had just come from his great labor and standing by the Lord. Now when we had seen these things with great joy, and had compared our several visions of the dreams together, we sang praise to God, the giver of all good things. And being assured of the blessedness of the Holy One, we have made known to you both the day and the time, that being gathered together according to the time of his testimony, we may have fellowship with the champion and noble testifier of the Anointed One, who trod the slanderer underfoot and perfected the course which, out of love for the Anointed One, he had desired in the Anointed One, Jesus our Lord, by whom and with whom be glory and power to the Father, with the Holy Spirit, to the ages. Amen.